Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Dalid. We left off on daf Gimel Amid Beis. We were in the middle of discussing, or we finished discussing, the halachos of when you're allowed to knock down a shul in order to build another shul. Whether you have to have the second shul already built, and we said that there are two possible reasons, either because we're afraid you're not going to have a place to daven, or because we're afraid you're not actually going to rebuild the shul, and the Gemara had said, but all bets are off if there's a problem with the current shul. If there's a problem with the current shul, you're allowed to knock it down even if you don't have another shul there to replace it, because you need to fix whatever problems there are in the current shul. And we said that the story of Rav Ashi saw a problem with the shul, and he told them to fix the problem, and he brought his bed into the shul and slept there until everything was solved, until all of the problems were taken care of. So we pointed out, Tosus has this discussion about sleeping in the shul, that he didn't sleep in the actual Beis HaKnesses, that he slept in the side room of the shul. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. We are up to first wide line. Ubaba ben Buta, hechi asfile eitzel hordus, the mystery of the Beis HaMikdash. Once we're discussing the halacha of knocking down a shul, how was Baba ben Buta allowed to give advice to hordus to knock down the Beis HaMikdash? Because construction needed to be done on the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, Hordus rebuilt it in a way that was spectacular, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara. But he, in order to rebuild it in a way that's spectacular, he first needed to knock it down. So how is Bava ben Buta allowed to advise Hordus to knock down the Beis HaMikdash? Didn't Rav Chista teach us you're not allowed to knock down a shul unless you have already built another shul in its place? Now, obviously, the Beis HaMikdash that Hordus built was not built at the time that he knocked down the one that was already existing. So one possibility is that there were problems, leaks and breaks and whatever it was in the first Beis HaMikdash, and we said that that's an exception to the rule. When there's a physical problem with the shul, you are allowed to knock it down even before you build something to take its place. Or we can say that when a king is involved, that's different. We don't have to be concerned that he's not going to fulfill what he said he's going to do, because since he's the king, he has ultimate authority and control over the situation, and therefore, if he's committed to do something, we don't have to worry that something's going to come up and he's not going to be able to do it. He has complete control. Domer Shmuel, Iyamar Machusa Akarna Ture, Akar Ture Vlo Hadabe. If a king says, I'm going to uproot mountains, he's going to uproot mountains. He will not change his mind. So since Hordus was a melech, or at least had the status of a melech in the eyes of the secular society, so we were able to trust that he was going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So what's this whole story? Hordus Bava ben Buta, what are we talking about? When did Bava ben Buta give advice to Hordus? So the Gemara says we need some background information. Hordus after the Beis Chashmonai Hava. So the Gemara starts at the beginning. Hordus happened to have been an Eved to the Beis Chashmonaim. Nasanein of Bosa Tinokas. There was one girl in the house of the Chashmonaim that he took a liking to, that he wanted to marry. Yomachad Shamahu Gavra Baskala, the Amar Kalavdu Demarid Hashta Mitzlach. One day he heard a baskal that said that any eved that is morei, that any eved that rebels today is going to be matzliach, is going to be successful. A baskal is like a low level nevuah. You don't need to have necessarily you don't need to be on the same level spiritually to hear a baskal that you do to hear a nevuah. That's what we've, I think, quoted several times in the past. The Tos Yantif says, I think Tos Yantif in Yevamos, if I'm not mistaken, says that that the reason it's called Bas Kol as opposed to Ben Kol, meaning whenever you say child of, it always means like a level down. So it's like a weaker Kol, but Bas also is a Lashon of Tashash Kocho, a Lashon of weakness. So it means it's a very weak Nevuah, a very low-level Nevuah. So anyway, so he hears this Bas Kol that says that anyone who rebels today against the Beis Chashmonaim is going to be successful. So Kam Katlinu Lukulu Marusei, Yishari Lehi Nukasa. So he went out and he killed his entire master's house. He killed out all the Chashmonaim, except he left this one girl that he liked, he left her alone. He left her alive. He chazes hahi nukasa the kabai lemitzva slika leigra. When this girl found out that he wanted to marry her, so she went up to the roof, verama kala, and she screamed out. Amra, she said, kalman da asiva amr mi beis chashmonai ka asina Anyone from this point forward, whoever comes and tells you that they are from, that they descend from the Beis Chashmonaim, Avdahu is nothing more than a servant. Because the only thing left from the Beis Chashmonai is me. And I'm about to commit suicide. And in fact, she did. She jumped and she committed suicide. And there was nobody left from the Beis Chashmonai. Interestingly, the Marsha points out that by Lemintseva, he wanted to marry her because the Marsha says the halacha is that when an adon marries a shivcha, the shivcha becomes a bascharin, right? She becomes free. So he wanted to marry his adon, right? And the Marsha suggests it works in the reverse also. It's not just the adon marrying the shivcha. It says the Marsha, Nira should dictate Lemintseva, Levisha Evid shall Beis Chashmonai haya, Velo Nishtachra. He was an Eved, he was never freed. V'kivan dekat al kulan nimtza shenishar Eved. And there was no one left to free him except for this girl. She was the only one that could free him. Right? He was still an Eved. Shalayinu kasa. He was her Eved. V'im nasa have nishtachra memela. So if he marries her, he'd be free memela. So just like the halacha is in the reverse, when an adon marries shivchaso, v'adin behepich b'yisha shenisis la'avda. So the Marsha says that's why he was so dead set on marrying her. The truth is, though, the Gemara says already before that he had interest in her, but that was an additional benefit to marrying her, was that the halacha would recognize him as a free man, as no longer being an Eved. But anyway, she refused to marry him, so she goes up and she commits suicide and announces that anyone who claims to be from the Beis Chashmonai is really an Eved. Is that allowed? You're allowed to be Ma'avid Atzmo L'das? She's allowed to commit suicide under such circumstances? Is that at all permissible? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya, Simin Shin Mem Hei, Siv Gimel, says, first of all, that a katan that's Ma'avid Atzmo L'das is considered Kishalol L'das. When we say a katan is not a ben da'as, that they don't have das yet, so that means they can't have a halacha of someone who committed suicide, of a ma'avid atzmo l'das. They're considered to be shalol l'das. And it's possible, at least, that she was a katana, calls her a hiinu kasa. Could very well be that she was a katana still, so it could be that there's no iser for her to be ma'avid atzmo l'das. It's also possible, based on what the Shulchan Aruch says, that even by a gadol, if the Shulchan Aruch says, if he's anus kishol ha-melech, he's allowed to be at Ma'avid Atzmo L'das. We don't treat the Ma'avid Atzmo L'das if he was Anus Kishol HaMelech to have the halacha of a Ma'avid Atzmo L'das, where we're Moneya Mimenu Kol Davar, where we hold back from him all the proper Jewish burial and Avelus customs. So the Shach says, what does it mean Anus Kishol HaMelech? Because Shol HaMelech got to the point where he wanted to kill himself because he saw the Plishtim were going to kill him. I mean, he saw one way or the other he was going to die. It would be a terrible bizayon for the Melech Yisrael to be killed by the hands of the Plishtim. So it says, Beferish in the Pesukim, Shol HaMelech told his Nar, go and kill me. He told his Nar, take the sword and please kill me because I don't want to die at the hands of those Plishtim. The Nar got scared, didn't want to kill him. So Shol HaMelech stuck his sword in the ground and he jumped on his sword. The Nar saw that. The Nar also stuck the sword on the ground and jumped on the sword. He followed Shaul's example. So it seems from those psukim that Shaul killed himself. It happens to be that later on the psukim describe a Nar HaMaleki that comes and tells David HaMelech that he had killed Shaul at the very beginning of Shmuel Beis. The Nar HaMaleki comes and tells David HaMelech that I'm the one that killed Shaul, which makes it sound like Shaul did not kill himself. And Nar HaMaleki had proof. He had Shaul's crown, he had his armbands, right? So he had some proof that he killed Shaul. It could very well be that Shaul unsuccessfully tried to kill himself. Like he jumped on his sword and he was still alive, and the Nar HaMaleki found him still alive, and the Nar HaMaleki just finished off the job. But either way, Shaul HaMelech was permitted to do that because otherwise he was going to fall into the hands of the Plishtim. That would have been a terrible Chil Hashem. This Hayinu Kasa may have made the same judgment, that here she is, she's going to fall in the hands of this Eved from the Beis Chashmonai. She's the last remnant of the Beis Chashmonai. It would be a terrible Bizayon that she's going to have to live with this guy. So she was Ma'avid Atzmo L'das in that situation. Similar to the Maisim Gittin, Dafn and Zayin Amr Beis, with the Dalad Meos Yiladim that all jumped into the Yam and went to Chayel Maba rather than to be sold into a house of ill repute. So anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, so now she's dead, so Tamna Shiva Shnin Bedivsha. So what's Hordus going to do with her? He preserves her body for 7 years in honey. that she shouldn't decompose. Iket Amri ba'aleha. Some say that during that 7-year period, he was ba'al her. Iket Amri lo ba'aleha. Some say during that 7-year period, he was not ba'al her. Those that say that he was bawel her, so the reason that he preserved her body was to satisfy his yetzer hara. And those that say he wasn't bawel her, he preserved her body so that people could say that he's married to a bas melech. He would bring her around, I guess, to cocktail parties or whatever, and it would look like he was married to a bas melech, so he wanted to have the reputation of someone who was married to a bas melech. There's a big chakir in the Achronim when it comes to the bitul akarbanos and avoda for the sake of tikkun abayis. Meaning here we're going to see that Bab Ben Buta gave the advice to Hordas to knock down the Beis Hamikdash in order to rebuild one. But forget about the issue of knocking down a shul. What about all the karbanos that could have been brought that were not brought during that time period? Isn't that a violation? Isn't that a bittul mitzvah of each and every single karban? So the Prima Gadim in Or Chaim Kufnun Beis in Eshel Avram Sivkat Nehei says that it's dafka lemandiyar mishum pshiusa. It works out. If you assume that you're not allowed to knock it down because you're afraid you're not going to build another one, so then it works out very well. But lemandiyar mishum duchta l'tzliyei, we have a real problem. Because is there any greater duchta l'tzliyei issue than not having where to bring karbanos? Karbanos is everything. That's the only place l'chara that they could bring it. So the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav Alach Dazayin, writes that makriven afal pidalak abayis. That it could be that if the kedusha is still there, you're still allowed to bring karbanos, even though there was no Beis HaMikdash. So it's lav dafka that they really were mevatel karbanos. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Taf Mem says that the mitzvah of bringing karbanos is only shaykh when there's Beis HaMikdash. So on that level, you can say it's not a bittul mitzvah. If they had a heter not to have a Beis HaMikdash for however long it took to do the construction, so there's no bittul mitzvah because there's no chiyuv during that time period. Okay, so that's the discussion in the Achronim. So Pashtus is, you don't have to worry about Tuchtel Sliyeh when Chazabat Tiyuha, right? The Gemara said that Chazabat Tiyuha is an exception to the rule of the Isser to knock down a Beis HaKnesses, even though you don't have another one. So the Chara is an exception to the rule by the Beis HaMikdash as well. Chazabat Tiyuha, and therefore you're allowed to knock it down. So anyway, it says Gemara Vayter, Amar, Hordus goes on, and he cheshbens to himself, Mandarish mikarev achecha tasim alach melech. Who's the one that darshined that you have to appoint a melech from amongst yourselves, from amongst mikarev achecha, and therefore an eved is not allowed to be a melech? Rabbanan. It's the rabbis that darshin that pasuk. Come, the rabbis didn't make up the psukim. That's in the Torah. Mikarev achecha tasim alach melech. So Pashlus is, he means, who defines what achecha is? Who defines that an eved is not considered to be an ach? Right, that I'm not allowed to be a melech. So it's the Rabbanan who darshened it. Come katlinu l'kul Rabbanan, he gets up and he kills all the rabbis. Shavke l'bav ben butal mishkalei tzimineh. He leaves alone, the one person that he leaves alive is Bav ben Buta, because he knows that rabbis are very wise people and he needs to get good advice once in a while. So he leaves Bav ben Buta alive in order to seek advice from him. He made a crown with thorns in it, and he from the skin of a thorny animal, Rashi says, and he knocked and he put it around Bav Ben Buta's eyes in order to pierce his eyes out and blind him. Yom Echad Asav Yasav Kameh. So now Bav Ben Buta is blind. Hordas goes and sits in front of Bav Ben Buta, keeping his identity a secret. He pretends he's somebody else, because after all, Bav Ben Buta is blind. Amar Chazimar Hay Avdabisha Maikavit. And he starts schmoozing with Bav Ben Buta, and he starts saying to him, can you believe what that horrible Eved did to you? How he blinded you and he killed all your friends? So Amar Lei, May Avdalei. Bav Ben Buta said, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do to him? Amar Lei, Nalti Amar. So what should you do? You should curse him. Right, he's testing to see if Bav Ben Buta hates him, if Bav Ben Buta is out to seek revenge against him. So he says, you should curse him. And that's the most logical thing to do, Marsha points out, because an Eved is considered Arur, right? An Arur Kanan. An Eved Kanani is considered to be Arur. So he says, you should curse him. You should curse the guy. Amalei, Ksiv, Pasuk says, Gam Ben Medacha, Melech Al Tekalo. You're not allowed to curse a king. Amalei Hailav Melech. He says, what do you mean a king? This guy's not a king. He doesn't really have the status of a king. Amalei, so Bab Mimbuddha says, Lav Yashir Bi'almok, Siv Bechadri Mishkavcha, Al Tekal Al Ashir. Even if he wasn't a king, even if he were only an Ashir, the halacha is that you're not allowed to curse an Ashir either. Velo Yehiel an Asi, and even if he were only an Asi, Siv Nasi Ba'am Chalo Sa'or, you're not allowed to curse an Asi either. Amalei, Ba Osamai Sa'amcha, Vailav Osamai Sa'amcha. He says, no, that's only if the Nasi is religious, if he acts like a proper Jew. But this guy is certainly not doing my Sa'amcha. He's certainly not someone who's religious that you have to worry about. Amrlei mistafina minei. Bab Mimbuddha says, I'm afraid of him. I don't want to curse him because I'm terrified. Amrlei laka inish ta'azil dilemalei da'anava at yisivna. So he said to him, no reason to be afraid. No one is going to go and tell him. It's just me and you sitting here. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Amrlei, meaning just me and you. You and the guy who you have no idea who it is that's talking to you. So don't worry about it. So no one's going to say. Amrlei ksiv. He says, like they say, a little birdie told me. You never know who's going to get, how the word is going to get out. The Ofa Shemayim is going to go and bring the word to Hordas. Amalei, so finally Hordas doesn't want to conceal his identity anymore. He says, Anahu, it's me, it's Hordas. If I would have known that the rabbis are so careful and so cautious, I never would have killed the rabbis. Meaning, it's that it's so admirable to have such traits, to be so careful. Not that they wouldn't have kept him out of being melech. They would have, but he just realizes that they live on a higher level. So hashta ma'ita kante dehu gavra. So he says, no, what can I do to fix the situation? I've done some terrible things in my life. Is there any way to do tshuva? Is there any way that someone like me could do tshuva? I was just listening to a shir last night. Rabbi J.J. Schachter quoted a tshuva that was written in the 1960s about a guy who wanted to convert who was a Nazi. He was he had been in the Nazi party and had done horrendous things, and he wanted to convert to Judaism. And there was a major discussion: can someone like that do tshuva? Is a tshuva someone who's killed millions of Jews? Is that shayach that you could do tshuva? So here, Hordas killed out the entire Beis Chashmonai. He killed out everybody, and he wants to do tshuva. So the truth, he wasn't becoming a Jew. He just wanted to do tshuva. So maybe it's different. But anyway, so he said, what can I do to possibly begin my tshuva process? Amalei hu kava oro shalolvan tichsiv ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar. He has extinguished the light of the world because ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar. Torah is described as the light of the world, and by killing all the rabbis, he's killed out the teachers of Torah. Yelich v'yasuk ba'oro shalolvan. So he needs to go rekindle the light of the world. Find something that's referred to as the light of the world and rekindle it. Tichsiv v'naru elav kolagoyim. So that's the Beis Hamikdash. Ikad Amri Hachi Amalei. Some say he said to him in a slightly different lashon, Husima Eino Shalolim. He blinded the eye of the world. Perhaps also referring to what he had done to himself, meaning not just the Talmid Chacham that he had killed, but maybe a slight nudge about what he had done, about blinding Bab Mimbuddha. Tichsiv v'haya imeine eida yelech v'yisasek be'ino shalom. So let him go and be osek in the eye of the world. Tichsiv hini mechalos mikdashi go'nuschem machmar einechem. The mikdash is referred to as machmar einechem. So the building based on mikdash is the best way to achieve kapara for what he had done. Amalei mistafina mimalchusa. So Hordas says, I'm afraid if I rebuild the base of Mikdash, I'm afraid of the Malchus. What do you mean he's afraid of the Malchus? He is the Melech. So says Rashi, no, kafufim hayu l'malchus Romiyim. They were kafuf to the Romans, just like the Beis Chashmonai was kafuf to the Romans. So Hordas now was also kafuf to the Romans. So he needed approval from the Romans before he did anything. So he said, I'm afraid. I'm going to start a major construction project on the Beis HaMikdash. What are the Romans going to say? He said, I'll teach you an old trick. All the kids know this trick. What you do is you send somebody to ask permission, whether you can do it. The shliach will take a year to get there, it'll stay there for a year, it'll take a year to come back. By the time it comes back, you'll be done already. You need to start before you get the answer. Adahachiva, and then when they come, they'll say, well, I asked, but it's just start before you get the answer to the question. Adahachiva hachi, sasra slay banisale. By the time the guy gets back, the shliach gets back, you'll have destroyed it and rebuilt all Beis HaMikdash. Avad hachi did this. Shalchulei, and they sent to him, when he finally got the response, after it was all done, the response was, Im lo satarta al tistar. If you haven't yet begun the project, don't begin the project. Don't knock it down. Vim satarta al tivni, if you've already knocked it down, do not rebuild it. Vim satarta vanisa, and if you've knocked it down and rebuilt it, avdi bisha basrda avdin mismalchin. You're a lowly eved who becomes a melech after becoming an eved. Imzayancha alecha sifrcha kan. You flex your muscles over there. You think you're such a powerful guy, but you should know that your sefer yichus is over here. We have your sefer yichus, and your sefer yichus is very clear who you really are. Lo racha v'lo bar racha. You're not a king, nor are you the son of a king. We know exactly who you are. Hordus avda klanya misavid. Hordus the Eved has done something terrible. My racha, what does racha mean? Samalchusa, the word racha means king. Tichsiva nochayom rach umashuach melech. Right, the phrase rach umashuach melech. So you see, the rach means a king. Vibay say mehach v'yikrul fan of avreich. And others say it's from the pasuk v'yikrul fan of avreich, referring also to king. So you see that racha means king. So they make the point of telling him that we know who you really are, and you're acting like the Eved that you really are. The Poros Yosef in the back of the Gemara over here says that Mishum Di'isa Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chav says that Shalosh Mitzvos Nitzavu Yisrael B'Knisasan La'aretz. There are three mitzvos the Jewish people are commanded to do right after we enter Eretz Yisrael. One is Limnos LaMelech, two is Lach Rezar Shalamalek, and three is Livnos Lam Besa Bechira. And that's why they dafka make a point of highlighting the fact that he's an Eved right after he builds the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, he says that they're telling him, you think you're doing this great thing for the Jewish people. The Jewish people have even according to them, their destiny is supposed to play out in a certain way. And it's not playing out the way that it's supposed to with you in charge. Because Livnos Lam Beis HaBechira, you're right, that's the ultimate goal. But first it's Livnos Lam Melech, and you're not a Melech, you're an Eved. So there is no Malchus. So the Livnos Lam Beis HaBechira is an empty Beis HaBechira. It's an empty idea of Binyan Beis HaBechira. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's supposed to be Keseder Azeh, right? It's supposed to happen in that order. That's what Rav Shechter writes in Bikvei Atzon, that's why he believes that it's appropriate to refer to Medinat Yisrael as Reishis Tzmichas Gula Senu, as the beginning of the Geula process, because as the Geula process is outlined in that Gemara, that Beis HaBechira is Geula, the process begins with Limnos Lam Melech, with appointing a king, and he holds and with Rayas that a king is Lav Dafka a proper Melech from the Beis Yehuda, but rather a Jewish government in the land. So anyway, so that's why the Dafka made a point of telling him that he's an Eved. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Misha lo ra binyan hordus lo ra binyana miyamav. They said that anyone who hasn't seen the binyan hordus has never seen a gorgeous building in his life. But my banya, meaning it was the most beautiful building ever. What did he build it with? Amar Rava ba'avni shisho mirmara, with different types of marble and white marble. Ikadar amri ba'avni kuchla shisho mirmara, that he built it with blue stones, with tchela stones and marble, apik safa va'ail safa, and the bricks were not even with each other, they went in and out, kiechid in a kabel sida, so that you could put cement in between them, sava l'mishya bedava, and then he wanted to line the whole thing with gold, he was really going to go over the top. So amru le rabbanan shafke da'achi shapir tfei de'mechziki yivasa diyama, and the rabbanan told him, no, don't put gold in it, it looks so beautiful now, it looks like the waves of the ocean, which is a beautiful look that it has to it, it's just going to be over the top, don't ruin it with the gold. So I asked the Gemara, wait a second, how could Baba and Buddha do something like this? Why was Daniel punished? Because he gave advice to Nebuchadnezzar. You're not allowed to give advice to Russia. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, if you want peace and you want tranquility, take care of Aniyim, give a lot of tzedakah. So he gives him really good advice. And because of that, whatever punishment Nebuchadnezzar was in for, he got a 12-month stay on it. He got a 12-month delay on the punishment. So Daniel gave him this fantastic advice. And Daniel was punished for that. So how could Bava ben Buta give good advice to Hordus? Now what did the advice consist of? The advice was, do mitzvos, right? But still, how can you give advice to the guy to do mitzvos? By giving him that advice, you're saving him. Isn't that usher to do? What's the issue to give advice to a guy to do mitzvahs? So possibly, some of the Achronim suggest, the Isser is Lo Sichanim. That the halach is Lo Sichanim, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, means three different things. It means Lo Sitin Lem Chani Abakarka, you're not allowed to give a guy residence in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Sitin Lem Chain, you're not allowed to pay them a compliment. And Lo Sitin Lem Matnas Chinam, you're not allowed to give them a gift for free. Giving them advice to do these mitzvos is like the third category. It's giving them this gift for free. You're allowing them to find zechuyos when there's no reason to give it to them. So Ibai Seima, one possible reason why Bab Ben Buta was allowed to do this is shiny avda di chayv b'mitzvos. It wasn't a guy; it was an eved. And an Eved is Chayv and Mitzvos. So since an Eved is Chayv and Mitzvos, he was allowed to give this advice. This is a big question. An Eved is Chayv and Mitzvos, but is he Chayv and the Mitzvah Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Meaning, Shani Avdu the Chayv and Mitzvos. True, but so give him advice to do Mitzvos that he's Chayv and. Is he Chayv and the Mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash? So the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Beis, writes that HaKol Chayavim Livnos Anashim V'Nashim, that women are also chayiv in the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash, and if that's the case, an eved is chayiv in kol mitzvahs that an isha is chayiv in. So then, taka an eved is chayiv in binyan beis hamikdash. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem in Shavuos Daf Yutes, I think, says that there's no binyan beis hamikdash belayla. Darshan Spasiku biyom hakimas hamishkan. There is no din of binyan beis hamikdash belayla, which seems to put it in the category of mitzvah shazman grama. It's a little bit shver. If it's mitzvah shazman grama, how could women be chayavos in it? So it's possible that when we say a woman is chayiv, it means that the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash is not only in the actual construction, it's in all the preparation, in gathering the materials, in getting the money, everything that's necessary. The only thing that you don't do at night is not the binyan, it's biyom hakim es hamishkan. The actual erecting of the mishkan was something that you don't do at night. So it's not a mitzvah shazman grama, because the general mitzvah of binyan you do day and night. I think that's how the Shor Mitzion Ba'alacha says to answer this point. V'ibay Yisema, others say, why was he allowed to give him this advice? Shaini Beis HaMikdash, Shdi Lo Malchus, Lo Mitzvani. You need a melech to build the Beis HaMikdash. This was a unique opportunity to get the Beis HaMikdash done, and otherwise it wouldn't happen. We need the result. V'Daniel, interestingly, when that suggests that Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah to the Aniyim, the result isn't that critical, that the result can get done in other ways. Either because we're able to take care of our own aniyim, if we're just mosa nefesh a little bit more and give a little bit more tzedakah, or because we don't view, more likely, when we'll see Gemara later, we don't view the mitzvah of tzedakah as a result-oriented mitzvah. We view the mitzvah of tzedakah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take care of the aniyim. It's just a matter of giving us the zechuyos in order to be able to have the zechus of giving the tzedakah. But whatever Nebuchadnezzar doesn't give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to the aniyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need Nebuchadnezzar to do it for him. So, but when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it's a result-oriented mitzvah. We need to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do it without us, and therefore it was important that it get done. V'Daniel minal and Yanish. How do we know that Daniel was ever punished? So if you say that because he comes up in Megillah Esther and he's referred to as Haseich, that makes sense if you assume that he's called Haseich because Haseich is the lashon of Chatach, that he was cut off from his position of authority. So that's a punishment. But if you say he was called Haseich because it's a compliment, it's saying that every decision of the Malchus was based on his advice, so then where do you ever see that he was punished? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, where do you see he was punished? The Shadu, he was thrown into a lion's den. It doesn't get much worse than that. So of course he was punished. Hakol Kaminaga Medina, going back, out of Agadita now, back into Halacha. So he said, you build the walls all based on the Minaga Medina. Hakol Asuyimai, including what? We already went through in the Mishnah all four different types of stone. So why do we say Hakol Kaminaga Medina? So Asuyasudinihigabu Hutzavadafna. Comes Dafka to tell you about a place where the Minig is to use Hutzavadafna. Tosas and Dafbeis had said, but if the Minig is to use less than Hutzavadafna, then it's a Minig Shtus. Then you don't follow such a minhag. The Gaon Sashri says that you find that legabe dina mamnus, we all go basar, we go basar minhag. But when it comes to other things that are not dini mamnas. Now, obviously, we're not going to go basa minig. That's the Gemara Chulin Daf Samach Gimel says regarding the mine ofos atmeos vataros, the kosher and non-kosher birds, says atu b'min haga talia milsa. It's not talia and minhag, right? But when it comes to dini mamnas issues, it's all going to be talia and minhag. So the Mishnah said, if the wall falls down, since they both chipped in for the wall and they built it on the line between the two properties, so therefore, if it falls down, they split the materials that the wall was made of, and they split the space that the wall was built on. So says Mar Pshita, of course, why wouldn't they? If they both chipped in for it and they built it right on the line, of course they're going to split it. So Lo Shricha D'Nafalu Rishus of D'Chad Minayu. No, we're talking about a case where it fell into the Rishus of one of them. Inami D'Paninu Chal the Rishus of D'Day. Or one of them put it in his Rishus. I think that he now becomes the Muchsak. And the other person has to bring a raya if they want to take it away from him. And therefore comes to tell me, no, that since the Leidas HaSafek was before, I mean, talking about Leidas HaSafek, since we know who contributed to this wall, so you can't become a muhzak in something like that when it was just a natural falling down of the wall into one property, or after it fell down, you decided to bring it all into your property. It doesn't help. And we said, by a gina, if the minig is to build, you mechayev him to build a wall. Hagu fakasha. So it says, well, let's be medayik in the Mishnah for a minute. Amrit v'chein begina makom shnago ligdor mechayev noso. We say that in a gina, if the minig is to build a wall, so mechayev him to build. Hastama in mechayev noso, which implies that if there's no minig, yes or no, then we don't force a guy to build in a gina. Ema seifa, but then it goes on to say, avol bika makom shnago shalol ligdor ein mechayev noso. That in a bika, if the minig is dafka not to build, then you can't force him to build. Hastama mechayv noso, which implies that if there's no minhag in a bika, that you can be mechayv him to build, right? That you are mechayv him to build when there's no minhag in the bika. Now hashta stam gina amrit lo stam bika mibayi. So if you can say that a stam gina, that there's no minhag to build, that you don't force a guy to build when there's no minhag, when it's a stam gina. So by a stam bika, where there's less of a hezekriya issue, right? There's less private stuff done in a bika. You're not in the bika nearly as frequently as you are in the gina. So is it possible to say that a stam bika, you're going to have to build? Doesn't make sense. Why by a stam gina should you not have to build? By a stam bika, yes, have to build. So says Gemara, no, we're reading the Mishnah wrong. Am Rabbi Hachi Kamra, this is what the Mishnah means to say. When it says gina makom shenagu ligdar, it means gina and a bika that's a makom shenagu ligdar, you're mechayev him. And the implication is, if it were a stam bika, you would not be mechayev him. A stam gina, you would be mechayev him to build a wall. So you see, gina is on a strict, that we treat gina more strictly, like we should. Amar le Rava im kein my aval. According to Rava, Rava says, wait a second, if already in the line about gina we were discussing bika, we said gina makom shnagu ligdar was gina and a bika where it's makom shnagu ligdar, why is it aval bibika? What do you mean? We were just talking about bika when we said makom shnagu ligdar was about bika, so it doesn't make sense to then have in the next line, but in a bika, what do you mean? We were just on the topic of bika. So Rava says your reading doesn't fit the words very well. Elam Rava, so Rava says this is how to read it. Hachi katani v'chein stam gina. Kim makom shenagu ligdar dami. A stam gina, even if there's no known minhag, we treat it like a place where the minhag is to build. That's what the Mishnah is telling me. It's telling me that a stam gina is a makom shenagu ligdar, and therefore mechayv noso. Aval stam bika, kim makom shalonagu dami, vein mechayv noso. But a stam bika is treated as a place where the minhag is not to build, and therefore we're not mechayv him to build. So he said, if you want, in a place where you can't force the other guy to build, if you want a fence so badly, so you can build the fence entirely on your property, and if you want to make it evident that you contributed in 100% of the building materials of that fence, you make a chazis milachutz, you make some sort of symbol on the outside that shows that it actually belongs entirely to you and does not belong, that both the fence and the makom belong entirely to you and not to your neighbor. So ask the Gemara, my chazis, what exactly is a chazis? What do you put on the other side? So Amravuna, achvile the karna levar. You build it in such a way that the corner goes over to the other side. why don't you do it onto your side? Because if you do it onto your side, and that were the universal symbol, that the side that it's facing towards is the guy who built it, then the guy on the other side is just going to build a little extension toward himself also, to try to make it look like it's his. And he's going to say, oh look, there's a chazus on both sides, so it must belong to both of us. So you build the chazus out on his side, he can't control what happens on your side, so that way it will be a symbol, and that will be the universal symbol that it's yours. So, but wait a second, can't the guy just chop off that little extension on his side and still claim that it belongs to both of you? So Gizuza made the idea. Now, if you chop off a piece of a wall, people will recognize it. Others say that he said to make it go toward the inside. And then the question is, why not do it toward the outside? So Gai is leichavre. No, because the concern is that he'll chop it off. And he's going to claim that it belongs to both of you. But if the universal symbol is making it in on your side, shouldn't you be choshish that the guy is going to build it out on his side as well? So the fufa made the idea. Whatever little extension he adds on, everyone's going to realize. But wait a second, according to the Sika da Amri, that you do it in on your side, what do you do with the word in the Mishnah that says that you make a chazis mi bachutz? Chazis mi bachutz sounds like you do it on the outside. So it says a marakasha. That's a little bit difficult, how to fit that into the Mishnah. Fractosos, isn't that tiyufta? I mean, can there really be a stronger kasha than that? The Mishnah says to make a mibachutz, and you're saying that to make it on the inside. So that tells us it's not a tiyufta. V'tiyufta eina, t'matzin l'meimar hainu, shebolet chutz l'choma. That when it says mibachutz, it could be that the Mishnah means that it protrudes outside of the wall. But it doesn't mean that you build it out from your property. You build it in toward your property, but it protrudes out from the wall. So it's just kasha because the lashon doesn't fit beautifully, but there is a way to explain it. Meaning it's not complete. It's not a complete tiyufta. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says, what was this chaz that they made? Nishaya ba'amsa milavar. They would line it with some cement or some tar on the ama at the top of the wall, on the outside of the wall. So v'nevin milagav, why don't you do that on the inside of the wall? Avid chavri milvar, because your friend is going to do it on the other side. Vamer didividehu, and he's going to claim it belongs to both of you. Iyachi ashenami the couple echavri vamer didividehu. But if so, aren't you worried the same thing? Your friend's going to do when you do it on the outside. Your friend's going to peel it off, and he's going to claim that it's both of yours. Kilufa made the idea. If he peels off the tar, then we'll know about it. Hutza, Amar of Nachman, sinufei yirechi milvar. If you have a fence made out of hutza, so you can't exactly put tar all over branches. So what do? You extend the branches toward the outside. V'nevin milgav, why don't you do it toward the inside? Avinami chavre milavar, because then your friend will do it on the outside also. V'amr v'didayu, and he's going to claim it belongs to both of you. Ihachi hashanami gayez v'shadilei v'amr v'didayu. But if you extend it out toward him, can he just take his hedge cutters and is that what they're called? And cut down the branches and claim that that nothing was ever facing his property and that the fence belongs to both of you? So mashuk leitina. So you put some cement on it also. You put some tar on it also. Hashnami yasi chavri v'kalafle. But isn't the guy going to peel it off? Kilufa made the idea. Now we'll realize if he peels it off. Abaye amar hutza lasi tekanta el bishtara. Abaye says when it comes to a hutza fence, the only way you're ever going to have it clear that it belongs to you is if you get it in writing at the beginning. You have to make a shtar at the very beginning with edim that it belongs to you. Otherwise, it's never going to work. All of these simanim by a hutza, a guy could just chop off or build an equal one on his side. It's never going to work. So he said, but if you decide, even in a place where the minhag is not to build a fence, but you decide together with the guy, with your neighbor, that you're going to build a fence, so you make a chazas mikan umikan, right? So Amar le Rava mi parzika le Ravashi lo yasu lo lo ze v'lo ze. Why do you make a chazas on both sides? I have a better idea. Don't make a chazas on either side. And if there's no chazis, then it belongs to both of you. Right? In the whole previous discussion, what do we keep saying? The guy can peel it off and claim it belongs to both of you. Why can he do that? Because if there's no chazis, the pashtus is, it belongs to both of you. No, the point is, one of them already made a chazis. Now, the only way to make it look like it belongs to both of them is if the other one makes one. So if you don't make it, he's going to claim it's all his. So this whole halacha of making a second chazis is only when one guy was already trying to steal and made his own chazis. That's the whole halacha is all about Ramai. Welcome to Baba Basra. What do you mean? The whole Masechta is about two people trying to get the upper hand on the other guy, and one guy is always lying. The whole Masechta is about Ramai. What do you mean? What are you bothered about? The whole Reisha was also about Ramai, right? Why do you make a chazaz in the first place? It's because we're afraid that some guy is going to claim that the other guy is going to claim that he also chipped in. So Amalei says, no, Bishlam Reisha Tanadina, Mishum Dina Tanatakanta. No, in the Reisha, it taught us a din. It taught us a din that in a Bika, the minig is not to build. So once it taught us that din, so it tells us what you do when you build in a bika in order to avoid anyone pulling any tricks, anyone trying to pull shtick on you. But El Seifa, Dina Katani, the Katani Takanta, but in the Seifa, does it ever say any din? There's no halacha. All it tells us is that, right, there's no, what? The din is that if they both want to build, they're allowed to build. Shkaya, right? If we both agree to do something, we could do something. Where's the din? There's no din. It's just telling me takana, and it's purely a takana l'ramai. So why would it only tell me a takana l'ramai? Samar Ravina, hacha behutzi askinan, lafugim edabai, damar hutza leste takanta, el b'shtara, kamashmalan de b'chaza sagya. No, it is telling me a din. It's telling me a din not to say like Abaye. Since we're talking about a mechitza made out of hutza, and Abaye says no chazis is ever good enough for a mechitza made out of hutza, because it's always, you're always going to need a shtar. So we're coming to Kamash Mulan, not like Abaye, that you are able to make a chazis even on a fence made out of hutza. Okay, period. Makif Nikif Sugi now. Says the Mishnah, Hamakif is chaver mishal shulchosav. Let's say I own fields surrounding my friend's field. Ruven owns fields surrounding Shimon's fields. So he builds a fence around on field 1, field 2, and field 3. So Shimon is now surrounded with fences to protect his field on 3 sides, which is as good as being surrounded on 0 sides, because 3 sides doesn't do anything for you. So Shimon didn't have to contribute anything yet. The gadar is rishonim v'sashniv v'sashlishis, right? He builds fences on side 1, side 2, side 3. Ein mechayv nusa. We're not mechayv Shimon to pay for anything because he's getting no benefit. There's nothing that's right. Rashi says ein mechayv nusa l'aseis klum. K'damrina d'stam bika makom shnag shulal l'gdaru. The meaning is not to build in a bika, and therefore there's no reason you can't force a guy to build, and he's not getting anything out of this fence, right? That's what Rashi goes on. Say v'liyner time mishum da'kati lo mahani le'mid. Anyone who wants to break into Shimon's property, all they got to do is go into the fourth side. But if you build the fourth side, then you can be mechayv Shimon to pay. Rabbi Yossi Omer im amad v'gadar s'revius megalgulin alav asakol. Rabbi Yossi says if you go and you build that fourth side, if he gets up and he builds that fourth side, you can make him pay for everything. So exactly what that means. A, who gets up and builds that fourth side? The Ruvein or Shimon, the Makif or the Nikif? And B, what does Hakol mean? Does Hakol mean he pays for all 4 walls? Does it mean he pays for the wall that was just built, but the most expensive price? And what exactly is Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama? So that we're going to have 5 different shitos in the Gemara as to exactly what's going on in the Mishnah. All we know is that when the first 3 walls are built, the Nikif doesn't have to pay anything. Once the fourth wall is built by somebody, the Nikif is going to have to pay, according to Tanakama, something. According to Rabbi Yossi, es Hakol. So it sounds like Rabbi Yossi, Pashtos is, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is more machmir than Tanakama on the Nikif in terms of what the Nikif has to pay, because he used that word as hakol. So out of the 5 shitos and what goes on in the Mishnah, the first 4 all assume Rabbi Yossi is more machmir on the Nikif. It's only the 5th one that says that Rabbi Yossi is not machmir on the Nikif. So let's get to it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halach Rabbi Yossi damar im amad v'gadar sarviz megal gulunov es hakol, lo sha'am en Nikif, lo sha'am en Makif. So he says, it doesn't make a difference who builds that fourth wall, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel says. We pass like Rabbi Yossi that if that fourth wall gets built, regardless of who builds it, the Nikif, the one whose field was surrounded, is going to have to pay es hakol. It, we still don't have a pshat though in exactly what's going on. It marafuna marakolafi mashagadar. That hakolafi mashagadar, meaning you pay based on whatever material was used. If they made a wall out of gold, so you pay for gold. If they made a wall out of Gaza's stones that are very expensive, so you pay for Gaza stones. Chia Barav amar hakol fi dmei kanam bezul. Chia Barav says, no, you can't force upon him an expensive fence. He could have said, look, I wanted a fence, but I would have taken a cheap fence, whatever would have been the cheapest fence available. So that's all you're going to be able to be mechayiv him to pay. So within the Tanakhama, we could already be medayik. Haravias mechayiv noso. Sounds like if he builds that fourth wall, we can be mechayiv the nikiv. And then the Sefer says that according to Rabbi Yossi, if he builds the fourth wall, he pays for everything. So Bishlam Rav Huna da Amrakol v'fi Masha Gadaba. So according to Rav Huna, we understand the machlokas in the Mishnah very well. Here's pshat number one in the Mishnah. Hainu di'ika bein Tanakam of Rabbi Yossi. Tanakam savra kol v'fi d'me konam b'zul in Masha Gadalo. Rabbi Yossi savra kol v'fi Masha Gadar. So if you're going to say that according to the Tanakam, you only pay for the cheapest kind of wall, and according to Rabbi Yossi, you pay for the most expensive kind of wool. So that's the machlokas, Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. That Tanakama says, you would pay once the fourth wall is built, but only for the cheapest available wall. Rabbi Yossi says you would pay, but for the most expensive kind, for the kind of wall that was actually built. But if you understand that even Rabbi Yossi only makes you pay for the cheaper kind of wall, then what's the machlokas? What's the Tanakama saying you pay? If you're not even paying to make on a bazul, what are you paying? So we'll just read the second pshat, and then we'll leave 3, 4, and 5 for tomorrow. Iba yisema agar netira ika benayu. That they're arguing about the skar, amount of money you have to pay for a watchman. Tanakama sever agar netira in to make on a bazul lo. Tanakama says you don't even have to pay what it costs to build a fence. You just have to pay enough what it would cost to pay some watchman to watch over the field. Rabbi Yossi suffered to make on a bazul. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you at least have to pay how much a cheap fence would cost. Okay, we'll get to the third, fourth, and fifth pshat in the Machlokes Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi Bez Hashem tomorrow.